You need to be on the ball when Ruth's speaking, because you never quite know when there's going to be a question thrown out there or a microphone in your face. But she's fantastic. She always brings things from a perspective that I've never thought about. So let's give Ruth a big welcome.
Thank you. So I'm going to start tonight with a question. So, my question is, peace. The word peace. Think about peace. For a minute, think about it, and then in half a minute, turn to someone next to you, either two or three people, and just talk about what is peace. What's peace? How do you get it? And also think about your own life. You'll probably have memories of when you've been in a time of peace and when you've been in a time of not peace. And just think about the impact and the benefit of peace. Just think about peace. Well, and talk about peace. Think and talk. You have about 2 minutes. And I will be passing the microphone round after. Right then, that'll do. So just shout out some things about peace that you can tell me. Absence of anxiety. Calm. Stillness. Passes all understanding. Absence of worry. Yeah, harmony with Christ and harmony with others, ourselves. Knowing you're on the right track with God. Salvation. Resting in Him. Reconciliation with God. Can you also remember a time you've been in peace and a time you've been not in peace? And the difference between the two? Yes, my word. Jesus, I'll say some things that Jesus said about peace. He, just before, in John, this is written, and just before he goes to the cross, he's with his disciples, and he's telling them that he's going to be going away. He says, don't be afraid, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's where the many mansions comes in, which we all say yes to. He says, I'm going to go away, prepare a place for you, don't worry, the Holy Spirit will come. And at the end of that, where he's talking about the Holy Spirit, he's talking about love, he's talking about obedience, and he says, all this is John 14:25. All this I've spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And do you remember as well, after Jesus had died and rose again and he appeared to his disciples, and in John, again, it recounts in chapter 20, where what's the first thing he says to his disciples when he turns up? And they're afraid, they're in fear, and they're in a locked room because they're afraid. What's the first thing he says to them? Peace be with you. And in that dialogue with his disciples, he says it twice on that occasion. The next day, he turns up again. And Thomas is there this time. He wasn't there before. And the first thing he says again is, peace be with you. So, peace seems to be quite significant. If the Lord is actually saying, peace be with you, and releasing peace to his disciples just before the cross and just after the resurrection, then we can kind of assume that peace is quite an important thing in God's kingdom. We know that he says about his kingdom, he says, the kingdom of God's not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we know it's significant to him, but we're going to have a little look through the Bible to pick up why it's significant. If you want to get a Bible, please do, because we will be back and forth. So we're going to start off by turning to Numbers 25. We know the story of the Israelites going through the wilderness, And we know how their hearts very quickly turned away from the Lord again and again. And they turned to idolatry, they turned to idol worship. And this was one of those occasions. And God had very clearly instructed them not to marry Midianite women. And they had gone and married Midianite women. The Lord was displeased with this. They weren't just marrying other women they shouldn't have married. They were bowing down to the Baal of Peor. So they were really getting themselves into idol worship. And the Lord, a plague came to Israel, and 24,000 died during that time. But what stopped the plague was a righteous man who essentially killed someone. While the leaders in Israel were crying out to God in front of the temple, in front of the tabernacle, there was a precious meeting with the Lord. And in the middle of all this, in front of this man walks in with a Midianite woman and goes to his tent and lays with this woman, we assume, because when this righteous man, Phinehas, sees this, he is incensed with the zeal of the Lord, and he goes into the tent and stabs the man and into the woman as well, so they're both killed. But that's what stops the plague. But let's look at something here that we're going to pick up on, if I can remember which verse to look in. So, verse 10. The Lord said to Moses, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned my anger away from the Israelites, for he was as zealous as I am for my honor among them, so that in my zeal I did not put an end to them. Therefore tell him, I am making my covenant of peace with him. He and his descendants will have a covenant of a lasting priesthood, because he was zealous for the honor of his God and made atonement for the Israelites. So because of this one act, the Lord is making a covenant of peace with the descendants of Aaron, the Levites. And we're going to pick this up because this comes through a few times in the Old Testament. So we're going to turn to Isaiah 54. We'll read from verse 9. To me, this is like the days of Noah, when I swore that the waters of Noah would never again cover the earth. So now I have sworn not to be angry with you, never to rebuke you again. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. So there's this, he talks specifically about a covenant of peace that will not be removed. And we pick it up again in Ezekiel 34. Now, this is an interesting passage. Have a read of it sometime. It's talking about the shepherd and the sheep, and likening us to sheep, or the Israelites to sheep, and talking about the shepherd, Jesus being the shepherd, but also the shepherds of Israel, so the leaders of the people of God, talking about the difference between the Lord and these leaders. But we'll pick it up at, we'll read from 25, verse 25. I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of wild beasts so that they may live in the desert and sleep in the forests in safety. I'm going to carry on reading, but really I think what's coming next is an idea of what this covenant of peace is all about. So I'll make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of wild beasts so that they may live in the desert and sleep in the forests in safety. I will bless them and the places surrounding my hill. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. The trees of the field will yield their fruit, and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land. They will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslave them. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. I will provide for them a land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land or bear the scorn of the nations. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are people, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. What an awesome promise that is of God's covenant of peace. And that promise of God's covenant of peace is for the Israel. We, by the amazing grace of God, have been grafted in to every promise God's made. Period. Full stop. We've been grafted in. But this is for Israel that we're grafted into. So it's totally for us. But also it'll be interesting to see in the years to come, at the end times, how God's going to vindicate Israel and what he's going to do. It's just going to be good. So that's a great idea for us about this covenant of peace. In the Old Testament, God's pointing to again and again and again. And right back, you know, early with Aaron's grandson, God's saying, I'm making a covenant of peace with you that will last forever. And we pick it up throughout the scriptures where God's reminding his people there's a covenant of peace. And it's a covenant. It's a promise. It's not going to be removed. So we're going to read another one. Still Ezekiel 37. Verse 24. My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. So this is prophesying about Jesus and the New Testament. They will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. They will live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob, in the land where your fathers lived. They and their children and their children's children will live there forever, and David my servant will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I will put my sanctuary among them forever. Isn't that just what God's done with us? That he's given us his Holy Spirit, the very fullness and nature of God in me. His sanctuary, his dwelling place is here. His dwelling place is there. His dwelling place is here. He's made it so. It wasn't so before Jesus died and rose again. We've only known this. We've only known the presence of the Lord and dwelling amongst us. Those of you who have, some of you will have a stark difference between before you were saved and after you were saved. So you'll be able to see more clearly in your own experience that difference. But we know the grace of God. Even before we were saved, the grace of God is amongst us. The grace of God is here. And they didn't have that in the Old Testament until Jesus came. So these promises are awesome. I will make my dwelling place with you forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God. They will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, make Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them forever. Right, next one is Malachi. So this is the last book in the Old Testament. It's always interesting looking at the last and the first of things. Whatever it tells you, it's just interesting. Right, where am I going? Right, Malachi 2. And now this admonition is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, and if you do not set your heart to honour my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them, because you have not set your heart to honour me. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. I will spread on your... I will spread on your faces the offal from your festival sacrifices. That would have been, that's a bit offensive, but we can read things. You know, when we read the Bible, we can read things and just don't see them. We just read, you know. But this is so offensive. When you think about Israel and the whole, you know, the kosher meat and, you know, all of that significance of that, this is really offensive. So God, you know, this is quite strong for the Lord, I think, to say the least. I will spread on your faces the offal from your festival sacrifices, and you will be carried off with it. And you will know that I have sent you this admonition so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. My covenant was with him a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many from sin. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, and from his mouth men should seek instruction, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty. But you have turned from the way, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So this is talking, he's talking to the priests, and he's having a bit of a go at them because, you know, they're not revering his name. And he's establishing again, he's saying, I'm doing this so that my covenant with Levi, my covenant of peace, remains. And I just want to bring out from that, you know, where he's talking to the priests, because, you know, we're priests, aren't we? We've been made kingdom and priests to serve our God. And, you know, priests in the Old Testament had a dual role. They stood before God on behalf of the people, and they stood before the people on behalf of God. And I want us to flip back to Numbers again. Number six. This is such an important and significant passage. six, around 22. So this is where the Lord gives Aaron, as the priest, the responsibility to bless Israel. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. That's not just a word of instruction to Aaron in whatever year that was, for him and his sons to bless Israel. That is totally for us today. I remember I use this verse a lot, and I generally use it if I ever have any criticism in my heart towards a Christian brother or sister. I especially use it if I notice criticism in my heart regarding my Christian leaders. Because, you know, the enemy always wants to divide and separate, and he always wants to cause dissension and grumbling against leaders. That's not a new phenomenon, and it's not going to stop. So that's not, you know, we're not going to be surprised by that. But I've learnt how to turn that on its head, so the enemy tempts me to accuse Les and Dot far less than he ever used to, because every time an accusation or a thought comes into my mind against them in any way, and it's so subtle, it's not that I stand and think to myself, oh, Les and Dot, it's not like that. It's like, oh, well, I don't quite like the way they did that, or they said that, or I'm not sure. You know, that it's very, very subtle, and if we're not aware of it, it just comes in, and then we've got this big problem. So I learnt how to, every time I ever had a negative thought, I used to say, ha-ha, Les and Dot, I bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Ha ha, enemy. And honestly, I would say, in my head, I would say that every time. I learned to say it every time. I very rarely have a negative thought about them now, because it's not in the enemy's best interest to tempt me to be negative about them, because I'm going to bless them. And you remember what the story with Balaam and Barak and Balaam, where an enemy against Israel called this prophet and said, curse the Israelites for me. And he came, and that's another story in itself, but he came, and essentially he, instead of cursing, he blessed Israel three or four times. Because if the, and You know, that's just completely flies in the face of the enemy, and I like that. So take that for yourself and apply it, because it, you know, it really works. Right, so this is the priests. We're priests, and we've got responsibility to bless the people of God. So when we pray, we can pray this over people's lives. Because the end, it says, speak this blessing so that they will, so they will put my name on the Israelites. So if I speak this blessing, I'm putting the name of God on the people. And God's going to bless them. That's what his promise is.
Good, hey?
Right, let's... I just want to go back actually to Malachi, and then we'll go to the New Testament. So, Malachi 3 this time. So we've got that, we've gone through that passage a little bit, and it carries on, and it mentions this covenant of peace again. So I'm going to read 3 verse 1. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. So who's that talking about? Yeah, Jesus. John the Baptist and Jesus, essentially. Because the messenger, John the Baptist, comes, prepares the way. And then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, and it's been talking about the covenant of peace. So I would assume it's still talking about the covenant of peace, because the chapter before was talking about that. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. So let's go to the New Testament, to Luke. At the beginning of Luke, there's two bits that talk about this peace. And one is from John the Baptist's father, where he's prophesying over John and over Jesus. So I'll read from verse 76. So it starts with his prophesying over his son John. But then as we go on, he's then really talking about Jesus, but you'll pick it up as we get there. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. And then he talks about the rising sun, which is Jesus. The rising sun will come from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Amazing. God's heart, God's plan right from the beginning, to come in the form of man, to come as Jesus, to die, to be raised again, to be ascended, to give us the Holy Spirit, the very dwelling place of God amongst us, leading us into the path of peace. And what's that? And it's later, if you're looking at your Bibles, you won't see it on the screen, but if you've got your Bibles, you might see it. What's the, a bit later on, when the angels are declaring to the shepherds about Jesus, what is it that they say? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. Wow. It's a very declaration from heaven before Jesus is born, or when Jesus is born. So this peace is quite significant. And I think God wants to live in a place of peace much more than we're perhaps used to in our lives. I'll just read a few verses. Well, a few more. So Colossians 1:20. This is just padding it out, really. 1:19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And we know that passage in Isaiah 53, is it, where it talks about the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Jesus himself, it says in the New Testament, Jesus himself is our peace. So peace is a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. It's not just Jesus has peace and Jesus gives peace, but Jesus is peace. And that has an implication when we're thinking about our lives and following Christ, walking in Christ, living in Christ, him living in us. If Jesus is peace and he's living in us and we're living in him, then we're to live in peace, we're to walk in peace. And he's made that possible by his blood shed on the cross. So peace isn't based on our ability to walk rightly. It's based on what he's done to make us right with God. And the Romans 5 passage says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So it's not about works, it's all about faith, grace, but that peace is there by faith according to his grace. And I like the way the New Living Translation talks about it, because this word justified, again, we can skim over these words, read them and skim over them, but you know, it's talking about, therefore, since we've been made right with God, Jesus has made us right with God. He's given us right standing, right relationship. And again, that's not because of what we've done. It's not because of what we can do, but it's what he's done. He's made us right. And it's because of that that there's that we can live in peace. I want to touch on a method of prayer that Pastor Colin has talked about, and it's called Listen and Live. He's written a book about it. And I was going to talk about that because I went to Faith Camp this year, which is a Kingdom Faith yearly Bible camp. And quite early in the morning, I met together with one of the intercessors that is there each year to go through this Listen and Live style of prayer. And it's very different from what I'm used to, what we're used to, maybe. It's really receiving from God, and then what that which we've received, releasing it. But it's the pure word of God. So I'm going to show you how it works. What I'd like you to do is just to sit quietly, and I'm going to speak the word of God. All you need to do is exercise a little bit of faith to grab onto it. So no praying, no praying in tongues, no anything, just relaxing. So you can sit in a comfortable position, in a receiving position, and just your faith can just grab on to these words. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Peace be with you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Peace be with you. Now may the God of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Now may the God of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Peace be with you. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. He is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. He is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now may the God of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. He is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Claire, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. Doris, peace be with you. Liz, now may the God of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. David, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Mike, he is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, your amazing peace. Thank you for your peace. Jesus, thank you. I think that's how God wants us to live, isn't it? Receiving his peace and being in a place of peace like that. We haven't done anything to receive, to earn it. We just receive it. As we heard at the beginning, peace is an absence of strife. Peace is a place where we're right with God, right with others, right within ourselves. That's God's covenant, which Jesus' blood made possible. I pray like that often at the moment, where I sit and I speak that. That's pure word of God. I've not added to that any of my own words. And when we pray, we're not heard for our many words, are we? The power of the word of God can't be emphasized enough, but we won't talk about that today. But it's been a demonstration today, hasn't it, of the power of God's word, God's unadulterated word. And we can sit in the mornings and we can receive God's peace like that. I do that. I speak over myself. I say, Ruth, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Ruth, peace be with you. And I do that and I receive God's peace. And then the Lord puts some names of people on my mind. So I do the same for them. Claire, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Claire, peace be with you. Claire, now may the God of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. And what's happening in the spirit is, Claire doesn't know this because she's not in the room when I'm praying, but the Lord's just putting peace on her. Because how can he not? Because his word does not return void. And Jesus himself tells us, when you go into a house, give it your peace. If there's not a man of peace there to receive it, it will return to you because it has to go somewhere. So as I pray in the morning over Claire, just speaking, Claire, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, then God's Spirit is releasing peace on Claire. She might not know it, but you never know. Later in the day, something might happen and she finds herself in a place of peace. God's amazing grace, the power of this kind of prayer where we receive God's peace and release God's peace. We've got to receive it first because we're not just releasing words, we're releasing peace. And you can't release something you don't actually have. So if I'm anxious, I can't just pray peace for Claire. It doesn't quite work like that. But that place of peace, it's all about trust, isn't it? It's all about dependency on God. It's all about sitting and not That's not activity. It's all about sitting. It's all about receiving. The strength is with God, not with us. And that goes against our human nature, doesn't it? I've got these verses, so if you want to, you can come and write down the verses and get to know them, get familiar with them. I know them off by heart now, so I can be walking along and just speaking them over over myself if I'm suddenly in a difficult situation. I've been doing this quite regularly over the last few months, not every day, but perhaps a few times a week. And a little while ago, it was just a stressful day. I was about to start, I've been doing a course, and I was about to spend a day 12 hours ahead of essay writing on the computer, and the beginning of that day I had some news which just unsettled me. Two lots of news which unsettled me. It's to do with my future and to do with money, so quite unsettling, and I didn't have the energy to be unsettled because I had this work to do. And because I was so used to these verses, straight away it's like, oh, right, God, I need your peace. And I just spoke these, and I spoke them. And God's peace came. You know, his peace came, so I was able to get on with my day. So it's not just in the dramatic, but it's in the everyday. It's all the time. Things come in and just, you know, cause us a bit of stress without us really realising. It's good. Let's just pray. We'd stand up, I think. Let's just thank God. So just pray out yourself. Let's just pray together, thanking God. Lord, I'm so grateful for your peace. I'm so grateful tonight that you didn't just talk to us about peace, but you've shown us your peace. We've experienced your peace. Lord, I thank you. And Father, I'm so desperate and hungry to know you like this, to experience you, not just to know what you say, but to have that translated into experience. And Father, I pray for each one of us, for a freshness in our walk with you, a freshness in our dependency upon you. But I pray that you take this and do something with it. And I pray for each one of us, at whatever stage we're at in our walk with you, but Lord, for each one of us, take us on from this to the next step, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus.